right, friends. welcome here. Well, you already had the welcome here. Now it's like we're going to bring everyone together. I always say that this community always surprises me on a long weekend. It always surprised me along the weekend. There's always like everyone's like, let's everyone all go together. So it's great to see you all here. And as you can maybe see that our family tried to catch some sun yesterday and might have fell asleep in the chair on the wrong side with my legs and my feet, tops of my feet exposed. So my fault. That's why it hurts to walk right now. And it was one of those weird things. It was like breezy. It was overcast. And we usually are really good with sunscreen, but no, not me. And Sharon's like, Kev, wake up. We were at the beach, and I just fell asleep, which is a good thing to do sometimes at the beach. And wake up the sun. I was like, you could just kept me sleeping, put a towel on me. that was me. It's on me. So the back of my neck and a few other things. We're using lots of aloe now. So good to see you all. I want to say thank you again to Isaac, and I think Jesse helped with the choosing of the songs because the choosing of the songs are kind of walking through and mapping out what we're going to talk about today. The songs today, if you notice, was talking about the kingdom of God. The songs today was talking about the Holy Spirit coming. And so on our last Sunday of Easter, which is the anticipation of Pentecost, which is next Sunday, we are here in our seventh week of Pentecost. On Thursday, it's always a strange time, but Thursday is when the church celebrated the ascension of Jesus, which is in our story that we're going to talk about here today too. And they never really do it on a Sunday, but it's a Thursday, and sometimes you can choose this week to either talk about the Holy Spirit, Easter, or the ascension. So I'm going to go with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So here we are. A recap on last week was this. The three things that Jesus was repeating that we talked about in John's narrative between 13 and 17, those three things were, and I hear that Sue remembered this at our life group. Jesus said, what? I'm going, you're staying to continue my work, and you can't do it alone. I'm sending you the Holy Spirit. And we took some time last week to just pray. And pray because the scripture was saying the Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Not only to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's role is to point us to the work of Jesus and the teaching of Jesus. And so we spent some time praying through the main teaching of Jesus, which would be the Beatitudes. And if you want, we still have the prayer journals are at the back. I'm gearing up for to try to have a time for us at the Ministry Center to walk us through that whole prayer journal because it's been helpful for me. And so we're looking forward to doing that. But that leaves us here this week in Acts chapter 1. I'm just going to look at verses 4 to 8. I think the full passage is 1 to 11. But we're going to look at Acts 1, 4 to 8. And so let's read that. Elliot, can you pull up the Acts 4? Acts 1, chapter 48. He, Jesus, appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift of my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates that the Father has set out by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then I'll throw in verse 9. After this, he said this. He was taken up before them, their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. Okay, so this is the second part of Luke's gospel. This is written by Luke, and when people say, when you talk about reading Acts, you should kind of read through Luke and then Acts. Some scholars would say that if you're looking at the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Acts, John, kind of read it that way. Actually, Fee and Stewart in their commentary, How to Read the Bible Book by Book, that's how they outline it. Just because it's a reminder that Luke is the one that's writing this, and this is the second half of what he's writing, just for us to understand that and see that. And so for our purposes today, I'm hoping that I can get us to think about three statements, or there's going to be three points that I'm going to look at today. Witness, and welcome. And then after each of those, I'm going to ask a question, and hopefully it's not rhetorical. Hopefully you'll be thinking about those questions, and we can respond to that. So we're going to look at these three points with three questions. Acts 1, 4 talks about here. It talks about this idea of waiting for the Holy Spirit. So Jesus, in that time in John that we talked about last week, there was this long conversation around a meal, and he kept saying, "I'm going to leave. You're going to continue to do the work, but you can't do it alone. The Holy Spirit will come." And so now there's this time where he told the disciples to stay in the upper room and wait now for the Holy Spirit to come. And they say there's about 10 days from the ascension to the Pentecost. And so maybe it's those 10 days, we're not sure, but there's this time that they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And in this passage here, it says, Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit. So the first thing is wait for the Holy Spirit. A Jesus-centered community waits to be empowered by the Holy Spirit because heaven on earth collides in these moments. The kingdom of God is here. This is what Jesus preached. The kingdom of God is here. It's here and yet to come fully, but it's here. We are working towards living out the kingdom of God here. That is what we are to do as a community. And so Jesus reminds his disciples that although he will be leaving them, the Holy Spirit's going to come to lead them into this wisdom, to be the advocate and the comforter, and to lead them into this life that looks like the kingdom of God. And Jesus was constantly led by the Spirit. If you think about it, quite often, the Gospels explain how the Spirit of God led Jesus this way. The Spirit of God directed him this way. The Spirit of God led him into the desert. Sometimes we're like, oh, shoot. Led him into the harsh things. The Spirit of God said, go over to this side of the river, this side of the lake. The Spirit of God led Jesus in this way. And so we want to do the same in that way as a community, as individuals. And so if we have a framework of the life of Jesus and how the Spirit of God led him in different ways, I just want to leave it for a question for us right now, is where might the Spirit of God lead people in today's day and age? What might that look like? It could be God's leading you to prayer, God's leading you. So I'm just going to ask this question here of you. Where might the Spirit of God be asking the church or individuals of the church or people, where would God lead people? What would it look like? There might not be any wrong answers, but I'd like to hear from you. Acts of service, right? Yeah, acts of service. Serving in different ways, right? In John 13, Jesus took off his outer garment and he put on, and he put a towel around and he went and served his disciples. And he says, I've come as a servant. So serve, acts of service. What else? Where the Spirit of God might lead you or lead the church or lead us or lead people.
Lead people to prayer.
Yes, absolutely. Amen, Ron. Because we were talking about that last week, about this idea of prayer. Maybe a prayer of petition, right? A prayer of like, yes, God, this is what I need. It may be a prayer of intercession on behalf of somebody else. It might be what we did last week, this idea that I need to take some time to be formed by the Holy Spirit. And it might be forming prayers, which would be reading God's word. And that's what we'll talk about a little bit when we talk about the prayer guide. Lead people to pray, to listen to God. Yes. What else? How else do you think the Spirit of God would lead people? Yes, Bev. Mm-hmm. Have eyes to see past themselves, right? Past our, I'll say ourselves. I'll include myself in that. Have eyes to see needs of others. Yes, exactly. Where else might the Spirit of God lead? Yeah. Front row's killing it this morning, just so I know. This is why we call you the Keeners. Towards refinement. What do you mean by that?
I mean the Holy Spirit may prompt us, urge us to turn away from things.
Yeah. One of the Spirit's roles is to convict us of sin, right? I think is that what you're getting at?
Exactly.
So the Spirit of God convicts us what we're doing is wrong or out of step with the Spirit. And there's a refinement or a big word might be sanctification, this ongoing. Or you could simply just say, I'm being saved every day, right?
Lead people to church.
Lead people to church, right? Lead people to a community where they're encouraged. Yeah? You were all led by the Holy Spirit today.
Choices of education.
Choices, right, okay. Yeah.
Right,
now, okay, that's good. Now that gets a little bit trickier, a little bit, like, because it's like, okay, now, so I agree with you, but then it's like, okay, which, is there a right way or a wrong way, right? So I push back a little bit like that. Sometimes the choices, there's so many choices, and will I do God's will? Now that's a whole nother topic, and I have lots of things to say on that, but I'll hold that back on that way. Yeah, where else might the Spirit of God lead us? Second row, yes, we're moving back. That's good. Leads us into moments of worship. Can you explain a little bit more, Sylvia, on that? Right. Yeah. Thank you that you mentioned worship, and it's not just here singing songs, right? It's way bigger than that, right? And Sharon and I, some of I'll speak for myself, but sometimes some of my most meaningful times of worship is when maybe I'm hiking or I'm outside or I see the grandeur, how big God is, and I realize how small I am. And it's like, whoa, God, you're so big. Or sometimes in the smaller moments of smelling a rose and seeing a little bumblebee in there, you're like, what? How is this happening? Yes, it moves us to this moment of awe, and can we recognize that? And maybe it's coming to that point of the song that they chose. What does it say? May we be more aware of your presence. And maybe that's part of the Spirit's role, to remind us of that God is with us right now. Peter.
I pulled up the lyrics of the song, He Leadeth Me.
Yeah.
And there it says, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort brought, whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis the hand of God that leadeth me. So God's leading us all the time.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yep. Absolutely, yeah. Exactly. Thank you, Peter. Someone mentioned to me the other day, like, don't be surprised that people, while you're preaching, people will be Googling. And yes, we have, someone over 80 that's Googling right now in that way. And that's good. So kids, you see that? He leadeth me. Exactly. Eleanor, you had your hand up. We're getting to the back. This is so good. Yeah, sorry. Into gratitude. May the Spirit of God move us into gratitude. Yeah. Exactly. I just mentioned something the other day, and I was like, you know, in my second half of life, which maybe I kind of more experienced when I hit 50, there's times where I can be quite a bit introspective, and that can lead me to times of like just bursting into tears, right? Overwhelmed with all those different thoughts and worries or concerns. But then there's other times that introspection can lead me in to turn a smile on my face, to think about all the goodness that has happened in my life as well. And so, yeah, would we be led into that, especially if we're kind of sitting in a spot of what is this world? Like, if we look at all that's happening in the world, all the harsh realities, just talking to a family who's has a Ukrainian family in their family now, and the reality that they're there because of war in their country, and we aren't experiencing that. But we can, yeah. How do we, Eleanor? It's a really good point. How can we see gratitude in the midst of everything? Yeah. Yeah, Jamie. Leads us in conversations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pardon? With others who don't believe. Yes. Yeah. Totally. Mm. That's exactly right. Yeah. And then it's a matter of how can I just be myself here, but also know that I'm a representation. I'm a witness. We're going to talk about I'm a witness of the kingdom of God to others. Absolutely. Okay. There's going to be two more questions. So this is really good. Man, you guys are killing it. So number two, witness. In Acts 1:8, it says that you're to be witnesses of the kingdom. We're to witness. The Holy Spirit empowers a Jesus-centered community to be a witnesses of what the kingdom of God looks like. So there's this, we're this embodiment of what God is wanting to do in the world. Steve Bell, as I was prepping this, he's written a bunch of books on all the whole church calendar, and he wrote this. They, meaning the early church he's speaking about here. Now he's jumping to Acts 2, where we can talk about that. But they were transformed by a radical love of God, which translated into the radical love for each other. Luke records that with glad and sincere hearts, they devoted themselves to worship and fellowship and other things that all were happening in there. They were giving to one another. They were selling homes and they were taking care of one another. And so I love what Steve Bell's, this picture, and many people will say Acts 2, verses 2:42 to 47 is kind of like a prototype or a picture of the kingdom of God working through a group of believers. And that's what a great picture of that. So the gift of Pentecost is the fact that there's this love. The Holy Spirit has come to direct us who Jesus is. But I would also say maybe understanding that it's a picture as well of our Trinitarian God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the way that they work together, that God is relationship. And so the Holy Spirit is coming to point us to Jesus, to allow people to understand the love of God and to witness that. And so maybe questions that I have for us today simply are this. Two questions. What does the kingdom, from your perspective, what does the kingdom of God look like? And if you're able to, how might you have experienced the kingdom of God at some point? When I say kingdom, sometimes we think kingdom of God, we're not talking about heaven, We're talking about the kingdom of God here now that Jesus has come to announce that then people are embodying and living out. So how might you have experienced the kingdom of God in your life? Or simply, what does the kingdom of God look like from your perspective? Because if we talk about it, then what does it really mean? Pardon? Community, okay. You want to say any more than that, Simon? Pardon? It's good. Just, and I will say, just on a side note, we forgot to mention this week, but you know that we received the federal government grant for a summer worker this year, and so we've had that out a few weeks on our website, and we're pleased to announce that Simon Janofsky will be that person, so that's really good. I don't know how we missed that. And so this is where we're grateful for the government's generosity towards us, because we know many of you are very generous to the government yourself. So maybe begrudgingly, but hey, let's just celebrate right here this year, this summer with Simon. So that's good. What else? I think it's a good question to ask. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah. Doug talked about prayer. The kingdom of God here looks like people supporting each other through prayer, asking God to intervene, to comfort, to be present in the midst of that. Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Not being alone. You're not an orphan. Yeah. And and Julia, I won't speak of your story, but at some point you can ask her about that. So to have other people present, godly men in her life as father figures is something very wonderful. Yeah. What else? Yeah, Pev. The community kitchen, right. Union Gospel Mission, right, yeah. Yeah. People in rallying around in Jesus' name to then take care of the poor and people that, it's not just poor, but people that are not able to fully care for themselves in that way, right? And yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sue. Sue says the kingdom of God might actually be someone admitting that they need help and be able to acknowledge that. And I think that would be, it's very true. Jesus says he's come for the poor, a poor in spirit. Then we say we need some help. And then others rallying around to help that. We have just a little, if you're thinking about life groups, Irv has life group, Irv and Christine, sorry, it's not just Irv's, and others on Tuesday nights. Sharon, myself, Trevor, and Chelsea lead one on Mondays. And Rob and Cheryl do one Sunday mornings, which is like they're having like cinnamon buns and waffles and those kind of things. Every so often, it's not every week, but if you want to get connected in that way, there is a Harold. There's a men's group. What do they call it? Leader Impact Group.
Yeah, it's Leader Impact, so it's for marketplace leaders.
Yeah.
So it's not directly associated
yeah.
with our congregation.
Our
group is from
Riot
Places, but it's for marketplace leaders who
want to
talk about work.
Yeah.
Business, family,
so there's
things.
That option too.
Like a peer mentoring program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's good, and it sounds, so what I see when I see that, Sue, I just mentioned, because our life group, we choose to communicate to one another through an app called Slack, and so we have a whole bunch of different channels, and one of the channels is Need a Ladder, which is like kind of an old Mennonite way to say, how do you need help? Not that we're all a bunch of old Mennonites. There's hardly anyone in there that is a Mennonite. Sorry, I shouldn't convolute that with our church. But it's like, who needs help? And so on there, then someone will chime in going, hey, this is where I need help right now. And they're admitting that they need someone to come and help them. And I think, that's almost where the kingdom of God starts in all of us. We admit that we need God in our lives. We admit now we can move it this way. We admit that we're sinful, that we need God's forgiveness, that we need God to work in our life so that we can overcome shame, that we can then move and overcome sin, and we accept the salvation that we have in God. But then there's this ongoing salvation that the kingdom of God works in and through others that points to that. When we say, I just need help, or I can't make meals, I can't even think to make any meals this week, who's going to step in? And it's just so fun to see people chime in on that way. So talk to one of us if you want to get connected in that way. You can be connected, because if we say we need to be vulnerable, then like, we have to allow people, it's hard sometimes, to be known and to allow yourself to be known, but also then be known as well. So, but life groups is one way to do that. I'm going to jump in. You guys are, this is good. You're writing my sermon for me. Haha, see that? All the studies are saying that we need to get to more dialectical stuff instead of, so there's a little bit of thinking behind this. Number three, welcome. So wait, witness, and welcome. We welcome all nations into the new order of the kingdom of God. The Holy Spirit inspires and empowers the Jesus-centered community to build bridges and dismantle barriers. All nations, it speaks about here. And so when we'll get to this in Pentecost, I'll probably talk a little bit more about that next week. But when the disciples and those others that were waiting in the upper room when the Holy Spirit did come, that we're going to read next week, is that, and some of you might know the story, where they received the gift of tongues and they started speaking in tongues. And then there's interpretation, and we want to see it from this practical way, that there was barriers between people. It was very clear barriers of cultural language, nationality. There was Romans and Cretans and Arabs, to name a few that were there. Now, they're all Jewish at that point, and we know the rest of the story keeps pointing to Gentiles. What was happening when the Holy Spirit did come after they waited, there was a whole lot of barriers that were dismantled. And there were a whole lot of bridges that needed to be built. And we see the story that it kept moving in that direction. And so Before I get my question, I simply want to read to you something that I read from Fee and Stewart as they were talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit and what has happened. It says this: God's Messiah came to his people, Israel, with the promised inclusion of the Gentiles. Jesus came to save the lost, including every kind of marginalized person whom traditional religion would put outside the boundaries. Jesus' ministry is carried out under the power of the Holy Spirit, the necessity of Jesus' death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins. And so there's this forgiveness of sins, but there's always this moving towards building bridges or dismantling barriers. Maybe there's a barrier that needs to be dismantled, or maybe there's a chasm that a bridge needs to be built. And so I wonder, as we wait and we think and we rest in the Holy Spirit, my question for us here is, where should the church, or where should we, or where should you be building bridges? Where should the church be dismantling barriers? There's another question. Sometimes that might seem like it might open up a can of the worms when I leave it to the floor, but I'm going to. And so where might be a thing? And you guys can be thinking about this week as you think about Pentecost coming and this idea that the Holy Spirit came and then spoke to them in tongues. Yes, there was a supernatural thing, but the practicality of what happened there is that there were cultural boundaries that were being torn down. There was bridges that were being built. And so if we have a few minutes, maybe we need to ask this question. Right. Yeah, dismantle every racist sentiment there is. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ron. Ron's mentioning a friend about a friend who's has some barriers in their family, and because of some things that have happened, and she has a hard time forgiving. And so, what does that look like, right? So, the reality is that is a reality in our lives, in our family's lives here, right? Yes. Split of 38 years. So don't stop. Yeah. And it might not look like it, might not look as ideal as you might think, but we still want to be moving that direction. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah. It's good. Thanks for instilling hope for us all. Yes, there is hope. Wait. Yeah, that's interesting. It gives a new meaning to the waiting part here. The disciples waited 10 days. Your family waited 38 years, right? What does it mean to wait? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Waited. Yeah. Peter. Right.
Mm-hmm. Are lots of barriers that keep us from doing good things.
Right.
Fear, anxiety.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peter. That's a good reminder. Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. Talk to anyone from Ireland or even just present. Yeah, there's a big, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Accepting them
mm-hmm.
who they are and where they're at, depending on the situation, that's going to be
yeah.
building a bridge or dismantling.
Yeah, so Sue just said, just simply being a friend with someone that you could just say doesn't look like you, doesn't, might not have all the same, like all the things you do. You know, your color of skin looks different. It might not just be that, it might be all kinds of ideals, right? How do you just be a friend? Without maybe because you, what does that look like? So, I've mentioned this before. Where we have some of our dearest friends, all of you are very dear too, and obviously we have really good friends here. But some of our dearest friends don't go to church at all, and we hang out with them every week, and there's some really great things that happen. And we don't know what that'll ever look like. We're not trying to, we're just trying to be a presence in their lives in that way. To the point where just a funny comment where it would be that, you know, there's one type where we're, on a Friday night, kids are hanging out and we're around a fire or we're, you know, have a glass of wine, yes. And so one of the people are like, hey, like, you speak tomorrow at church, right? I'm like, yeah. They're like, oh. And she's got a glass of, she's like, can you just do like a drunk preach right now? I'm like, whoa, just hear what I didn't say. I wasn't drunk, okay? So don't hear that. But it's like, you wouldn't hear a lot of that language around here, right? What does that look like, right? So they're basically saying, could you just like, while the glass of wine is in your hand, can you just preach what you're going to preach tomorrow? Well, that has come after years of relationship, right? And some of them who've been burned by the church. In fact, they've been clobbered. And so I get to do that sometimes on a Saturday night around a fire. It's awesome. And we don't know what all is happening there. But also, I would say, too, in that, they are friends that don't, they teach us so much as well. And I would say sometimes we are witnesses of the good news in our own lives and the good lives of what the church is doing, but sometimes we see it and we then bear witness to what they're doing, and some of what they're doing actually looks like the kingdom of God. And so we announce that to them. We say, that's looking a lot like Jesus. And they're like, what? They have no problem with Jesus. They have more problem with religion. And I'm like, that looks like Jesus to me. And so sometimes our witness isn't just about how good we are and what we're doing right, because we know we don't do it great. We try to do it faithfully. But sometimes our witness is bearing witness to what they're doing. Because Scripture speaks about any good thing comes from the Father above. Whoa, that actually changes a little bit about what evangelism looks like then. And as we continue to allow them to know that what they're doing looks like Jesus, they might just be going, oh, talk to me more about who Jesus is. So that's something you'd be praying for us about in that way. So I end with that with us. Yeah, 3 W's this week. Sue's going to remember this, right? during this passage of Scripture, three things. He waited. Help me out. What's the second one?
Witness.
And that could be bearing witness to what you're seeing, but also the announcing what you're seeing as well. And this welcome. Welcome also of the Holy Spirit. When we welcome the Holy Spirit, I would say this. As we welcome the Holy Spirit, we welcome others. When we welcome the Holy Spirit, we welcome others. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity to gather in this space with these people. Thank you for your word, your Holy Scripture that points us to Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that points us to Jesus. Pray that you would encourage each of us. Even as Peter said that we could, your Holy Spirit would work in our own lives and with our own fears and hang-ups and anxiety, and you just allow us to be who you've created us to be. That we would see that, yes, we're needy of you. For your Holy Spirit to come and empower us to live in such a way that we can bear witness to the kingdom of God here on earth. Help us be that kind of community and those type of individuals. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.